Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we're in the Cafe Book Club, where we're talking about resilience at work. And, boy, I think this is going to be a really wonderful conversation. We've got a guest chef who decided to slip into the cafe tonight, so I'm going to have Amy introduce him. We're going to be talking about the five major obstacles to avoid when it comes to really just seeking and finding happiness at work. So, Amy, how are you doing tonight?
I am very excited. A good friend of mine who we've been kind of disconnected for a little bit, we're reconnected again. And I'd love to have him really introduce himself. Bob and I met in a very serendipitous kind of way. I was writing a blog for Delivering Happiness, which was a project of Zappos before they were bought by Amazon. And he Googled happiness, and my name popped up. And we connected, and we wrote an article together. And then his life took a little bit of a turn. So, Bob, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself and kind of explain where you're at right now and this whole happiness thing?
Yes, thank you, Amy. I appreciate that. Great to meet you all, hear you all. And it's just interesting, like you're saying, it's serendipitous events that happen that are a lot of joy that come through, and it reaches a lot of people, which we don't even realize at the beginning. The beginning part is just, I could take you way back, but just to make it very simple, when I was starting reaching out, I was in the happiness mode, still am, and essentially there was a big shift as I was moving in from helping people with their happiness and, you know, using a lot of the ways like science and philosophy and psychology and whatnot, and it was starting to really germinate, and it's starting to reach people. And then there was another massive shift, the biggest shift of my life, which essentially meant that there was a surprise for me, and the surprise was really dealing with a brain tumor, and that's what Amy was just referring to. And the brain tumor was just a massive growth that was beyond expectations from any of the surgeons or anything like that. And I survived it. I mean, that was the big thing. It was a very, very delicate procedure. It took many years, and then eventually I came out of it. And then I dealt with a lot of other issues coming out of that. And essentially, from the other issues, it was 50% with my with my visual, so that was a big blow, and the other parts was the cancer, so partial cancer, and so on and so forth. And with all of this, I kind of like found it took a little bit, but it took a while to find my happiness again and started to open up somewhat, but at a very, very deeper space, and that involved a lot of things like presence and healing, and things that were really grounding. And this is how the book sort of came out from there.
Perfect. And you want to give us the title of the book?
The title of the book, yes, Pure Happiness, Your Guide to Inner Freedom.
And we're really big fans of that whole happiness idea. We'll talk more about it as we go, and I think it's one of the key factors of resilience in life and certainly at work. And our audience knows that Robin is a certified laughter yoga instructor, so it'll be interesting maybe to throw in a technique, Robin, that would help you to be resilient in the workplace. So why don't you go ahead and lead the charge, Robin? How are you feeling diving into the resilience at work?
Okay, well, I think it's real important that since wanted to really cover the five major obstacles to avoid, you know, when it comes to being successful at work. So we kind of work our way through it. And Bob, I'd love to have you, anything you want to add to the conversation, please don't hesitate. I think that would be great. So the one thing, the number one thing that they talk about is stress at work. When it comes to having things that are obstacles for ourselves. Well, believe it or not, we've got some stress going on. Yeah, so I think if you look at physicians, they'll say that over 80% of any kind of illnesses are stress-related. So it's no wonder that when it comes to just looking at stress and having it be the expectations or just different aspects of the way of looking at work. And then here we've got the resilient skills of being able to be mindful and being able to catch ourselves and things like that. So I'd love for you what would you say to people that are having that stress issue at work, Bob?
Well, I mean, I put a lot into this myself. Like with work issues, I do my sort of a different type of stress relief, I guess you would say. But I kind of sort of found a way to mesh what I've been doing in terms of happiness and then relating that to the corporate level, which I learned a lot of practices in the corporate world as well. So I picked up a lot of those ideas. And I came down to like a few things to help with stress-related issues. And one of them essentially is the core of it. If we look at that, then it can kind of like expand and help many with regards to how to really uplift things that are going on in the workplace. And like you were saying, you know, it's just such a high level of high percentage that are going through like some kind of stress or issues and illness and whatnot. And then I was doing it so that if there's a core reason, usually that reason is coming back to wellness, those kinds of things. So the wellness includes also the meditation and just time out and giving permission to be able to do that. And the issue with that, or the challenge with that, I believe, is that although the corporates hear the idea, when it comes down to it, they say, well, that's going to take away from our production level because we don't have time to go into all this. Some corporates, not all, because now more and more are beginning to really understand that even though you're not able to see it, taste it, feel it, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And this example is with the meditation. You can't really take a survey of it afterwards after 3 months and say, okay, this is our production level. You have to give it a little bit of time. So that's where I found it very, very effective when I talked to a number of other people. So the production side becomes very valuable, effective, and brings up a whole array of positive, and then, you know, if they give it just a little bit of time where their employees are happy, then it's as we know, you know, happiness is a positive virus. It's, you know, once a person's happy, it just comes across to others very easily. One person's happy, the other one's sharing a coffee with the other. They're all, you know, laughing together, you know. So this all combines with you know what you're doing, Robin. You know, with the happiness and the laughter yoga and the laughter that you know we talk about. Even though it comes from the corporate side, it may come from the corporate side. But if they learn some of those very, very basic tools like the yoga and the meditation and so forth, then it can really enhance the productivity overall.
Absolutely. And I want to dovetail on a point that you made about having a time out. And part of what the resilience factor is about is looking at your attitudes, looking at your beliefs, and how do they fit with your actions and what you're doing. And we see that a lot in the workplace where your unconscious biases and beliefs that don't serve you come out in forms that are not very healthy and probably really get in the way of productivity. A good friend of mine, she works with autistic children. And when traditionally, you know, when you're having a problem with somebody, you give them a time out. And what she does is she gives them time in. And we're back to this meditation and reflection on your beliefs. And I think that really will serve you well in the workplace, and allowing for that time to have those time ins to look at how are things going. Can I do this a better way? Can I make more sense out of this when dealing with that challenging customer or trying to get so many things done in such a short period of time? So I think, and of course the laughter too, also lightens things up and allows you to, you know, to take some nice deep breaths and to be more productive. And I think it's breaking that stress pattern and finding healthy, productive ways. Robin, anything coming to you from this conversation?
Yeah, I really wanted to just go back a little bit to the permission slip. I know as I've grown up and done a lot of practices with just meditation and things like that, there's so much to be said for allowing yourself to be able to step into that time in and giving yourself permission to be able to do that, you know, like, and just giving myself, because I know one thing I do is work hard all day long. I give myself permission at 5 o'clock, 5:30, I'm done. Whatever I use to do my business every day, and I basically just say, this is my time, so I basically have quiet or things that just can shift my gears and things that I enjoy, or just maybe making sure that I have some downtime and some laugh time and things like that, watching things that I enjoy and things like that. So I always take a little bit of time every day to basically just kind of turn that other part of my life off. And I think it's so great when, you know, I know Amy's had this experience. I'm sure you have too, Bob. When you're basically facilitating people and you really say, you know, let's give ourselves permission to do that. And it's like this light goes on. You can see people looking at each other like, what? I can give myself permission to do that? Oh, that's amazing. Okay. So I think it's that little switch in our head that we realize that, you know, I can do that for myself, or I can encourage somebody else to have that kind of experience, and let's give each other permission that that's okay, and that we can play for a second and see what that's going to be. Go ahead, Amy.
I think that's great, and it's interesting that you caveated it with once I'm done with work. So what I want to support you in, and challenge our audience, and certainly the three of us, that you incorporate this into all the time in your life, not just when, oh, I'm done working now. Now I can have fun. Now I can relax. Mm-hmm. Now I, you know, I'm giving myself a time in, and I can have some stillness.
One thing I do with my staff is we have lunchtime, and then we'll play Uno or we'll get out some kind of a card game or some kind of a kids game that we can just play for about 15 minutes, where we just enjoy the process and being able to just, you know, just have fun with each other with a game. And I think it's something that's really helped us to be just in a better, lighter way with each other. And, you know, we know that there's going to be that break in the day. And, you know, and I think it's really, really great to break bread with one another, too. There's something to be said when you have that experience with each other where you can be relaxed and just be visiting with one another and not have it just all, you know, productivity. It's a matter of just really connecting with each other. It goes to everything that you've got when you're working with other people.
Now, and Bob, what is one of your favorite techniques to help people with happiness, with being resilient at work?
You know, I'm a bit of a, maverick or a little bit different than other people when they talk about happiness or techniques or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that I don't even use techniques as such, and I know that's a bit of a shock for some people, but the reason I approach it that way is because techniques imply that it's bringing in some kind of like solution from the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to think about this, put this together with that, and create a glossy presentation or a talk.
Mm-hmm.
And those are great and fine, and it works. I do it a little bit differently. I just go inward, and then it's just more like whatever comes out from that space you know, and it could not, maybe it's not as good as a technique on the surface, but when it comes in from something from a higher state of consciousness, then it comes out fresh, I would say. It's not a continuation of something that has been done and maybe it's been worked 100 times or something like that, so people are using a technique. What I do is I'll do something raw, so it just goes out there. It comes from the heart, and you know, if it doesn't reach out, maybe the number of people that we would like to, that we produce originally with a technique, then so be it, because we can open that up, and it makes us feel good because we're doing something from a creative angle,
mm-hmm.
and then that's something that could reach out, and a bit risky, but it's so much fun, you know.
So can you give us
so much happiness?
Yeah, an example of how you would do that.
So for technique, so let's say if we even, let's take the laughter. I'll jump with laughter, right?
Okay.
So in this situation, I mean, what I would, or like, or jokes, you know, let's put jokes into there. So people love to laugh, you know, through jokes and things like that. And if that, like the jokes that a number of people, I feel anyway, just from a personal level, believe it or not, I did a little bit of a comedy in the past, but what I did and what I do is essentially let it go as I'm talking about it. So if I'm talking about a joke, maybe I'll, you know, I can't think of a joke right now, but if, you know, the walking into a bar, you know, the proverbial joke that starts off walking into a bar and then
mm-hmm.
you go on from there. And then you might... get some jokes and stuff like that, and people will laugh on it. The difference I would do is I would start off with the joke without even knowing what the punchline is, maybe. I would think something is funny about it early enough, and if it doesn't come out funny, well, it doesn't. But there's something intuitively that may come out that is coming from spirit or something that's different that people haven't heard that joke before.
You know, I love that because, you know, we have Robin talk about, what do you call it, Robin, like the gibberish or other, you know,
gibberish,
things
where yeah.
You
I was just going to bring about that, yeah. Because one of the exercises that we have in the laughter yoga is that it's really important to do gibberish. And, you know, gibberish is basically making sounds that don't have a connection to any particular language. Because what it does is it connects, it basically shuts off your logic brain and helps you to be in a place of play. Because you're not really thinking about the answer of something. You're just letting yourself talk gibberish. So one of the exercises that I really enjoy doing to kind of warm people up is basically we go around and we basically, you know, we're just like, let's just tell each other short jokes, and then we're just going to go ahead and laugh like it's the most funniest thing we've ever heard in our life. We're going to, we're this side of almost peeing our pants because it's just so funny, you know, and then you just basically you say something like that. And then everybody would laugh, knowing that on whatever level, they were basically going to laugh. And one thing I love about the laughter yoga is you start laughing, and after a little while, your brain and your body doesn't know the difference between actually making, you know, having it be a logical thing that does make you laugh and just letting yourself laugh. So once you start getting into that, it's kind of get the motor going on the laughter, and it basically helps the endorphins and everything in your body turn over to where it's just this wonderful experience that you're not having – you're allowing yourself to feel in the joy and the playfulness of everything without getting caught up in the fact that you have to make it an analytical process. So that's one thing I really love about the gibberish.
And I think that's a really good point on both your parts, that it's really important to have things be experiential and creative and let the flow happen. Because in the workplace, and I think where a lot of stress comes from, is being trapped in our heads, is being trapped in it has to be this way, and that's the only way that it is. And part of being resilient is having that kind of courage to go places you may not know where you're going to end up.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I'm looking at the five obstacles here. You know, of course, number two is the demand to be more productive with fewer resources. Because, I mean, everybody's knowing how we're having less personnel and still the amount of work is growing. So there's that stress with all that. And I think you really touched on that really well, Bob, about having it be in this place where you enjoy one another. The process of the work itself can be more enjoyable because you both really have that almost a collective where you're in this place of happiness with one another. I think that's really great. So, and number three is the guidance on how to cope and overcome when you've got, it starts getting into more heavier stuff with prejudices and things like that with work. So do you ever have something like that with when you're going into the corporate world where there's prejudices and stuff and still looking to have it be in a place of happiness?
Well, I
so
think...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'll just dive in and you can jump in whenever you'd like. I believe that, biases of all kinds certainly get in our way in the workplace. I mentioned this, I was on the radio the other day, and a couple of biases, there's the traditional whatever, age, race, sex, we know that those biases are there. But two, the workplace that people don't talk about, the kind of the hidden biases that I see all the time are if you're not a morning person, you're biased against, and if you're an introvert, you're biased against. And trying to find ways to make sure that they have a voice too. I think part of being resilient in the workplace is allowing for those differences. And it's like with a morning person, what you want to do is they're very productive, maybe later in the day. And so finding ways to tap into that. And with an introvert, they tend to be very deep thinkers. And so they were trying to maybe give them a project where there's going to need to be more research and more thinking. So, I think it's about how do you balance what people are really good at instead of making that something they're really a bad thing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Bob?
Yep.
So anything with happiness?
That's all there is to say about that.
Anything can be about that?
Are we coming my direction? Here,
yes. Yeah, anything coming to you?
So, just to start off, I haven't been in the workplace for quite some time, so you're bringing back some fresh memories, right? Which is great because I haven't been with the so I haven't I have different sets of if you would call them challenges,
mm-hmm.
But not the ones like with the ones that you're talking about. People like judging one another and extra. So mine is more like independent. So mm-hmm. I work from it from that way, and it has its own set of challenges too. So, I take that that quote is no matter where you go, there you are. That applies. So that applies
absolutely
to those places. So you, even when you come out of the workplace and into doing your own thing, your own business, those challenges will kind of follow along until intuitively you start to recognize that and be able to change it from that level, and then from there on, then it can start to make a difference on how it connects with others.
And I think that is a really valid point too. We don't think about it. A lot of people work virtually today. Maybe not all
yeah.
the time, but I know Robin's husband works at least a couple of days a week at home, and that
mm-hmm.
brings a whole other set of challenges and in terms of being resilient too. So that's another area that people need to look at. How am I different when I work remotely? And how am I different when I work in a workplace? And I think, I hadn't really thought of that before, but I think that's an important part of this puzzle too.
Yeah, because
yeah.
we're always looking at that component of us having a sense of connection with people, And I think that's something that, especially when people work at home as opposed to into offices and stuff, I think that's one reason why there's this growing popularity of people renting spaces that are basically shared office space. I can't
mm-hmm.
remember there's one company in particular that's really being very successful at that, where they provide a lot of comforts with food and drinks and just different spaces and stuff for people to share large tables, and they have just a new level of brainstorming and camaraderie together. Even though they're doing their own businesses, they have relationships with each other. So it's really kind of going back to the networking of who you are and how you contribute to just other projects and stuff that can stimulate your business as well. I think it's a really great model of just showing that, you know, we're just part of our human conditioning about really, you know, we need that connection with each other.
And something else I want to throw in the mix, it's part of resilience, I think. One of my favorite books, it's called Nothing Special, Living Zen, and it talks about reflection in the workplace, and that, you know, it says when we're lucky enough to be doing work that we really like to do, we notice that our body relaxes more. But when we're something happens, your practice, you know, it takes some practice, some things are not going quite right, whether you're stressed or whatever the things happen to be. And I love how they talk about it. They say practice is nothing more than an attitude of curiosity. What's going on here? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What is life presenting to me? What am I doing with this? What is an intelligent thing to do with this? What's an intelligent thing to do with a boss who is already stressed out and unreasonable? What do I do when filling my cavity turns out to be excruciating pain? And really looking at that, the things that are happening to us anywhere, but, you know, especially in the workplace, is part of our practice, and not making it something that's separate from that. Like, say, okay, it's 5 o'clock, so now I get to be reflective. But making that the question all day long and being curious about what does this mean to me, you know, as a person and in my work and in my purpose.
Well, that makes me go back to the thinking about, you know, over and over again.
Robin, go ahead. Start again, then Bob will come back to you. Go ahead, Robin.
Oh, well, what I was going to say is being curious and asking questions. I think that's something that really helps to help you to feel connected and really looking at life from just a very more open and spacious perspective is coming from a place of being very inquisitive about things. So go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. What I was going to add to that as well is because we were saying, okay, we do our work or whatever we do during the work hours, and then we have our time for contemplation and doing whatever we do, you know. So if we kind of most of the time people are at work, and then it's very difficult in that environment. So what I share with them is, I mean, there's a number of things we could talk about here, but one thing that I think we all have heard is being in the moment,
mm-hmm.
or being in the now. So when there's a lot of busy activities going on all at once and we cannot, you know, just do all the other things at once, if we even set ourselves a practice to, while we're doing all this, we can have a background of presence. So all this is happening, and it takes a little bit of practice for most people, but once it's like an exercise, you know, once this is practiced a little bit, it becomes your own best friend. So as you're going to work and you're doing all these things, you have a bit of a presence in the background, so you can still talk with people, you can hear their maybe frustration or something like that, but it doesn't affect the presence that's there, the stillness that's there.
Mm.
That's always there regardless, right? It's easy to say, of course, but once they're in that zone, then it becomes a huge part of them. And that also, as we started off at the very beginning of this discussion, is just like the illnesses and things like that on corporate levels and stuff like that. This is like a really good place, in my opinion, just bringing in that presence as a starter as well.
Absolutely. I think this is really the pay dirt of our discussion, and I'm really grateful to have both of you here and have that, because I see this being rampant in the workplace, that people are so disconnected, they're so isolated, and people are really struggling, mind, body, and spirit, and are opening up this discussion and supporting people in being present in their workplaces on an ongoing basis may seem revolutionary, and I think it's what really works. So I'm really honored to have you here today, Bob, and Robin and I are excited to read your book, and we're excited to do it in the Transformation Cafe Book Club, and I think we're going to help a lot of people, and we're really excited to read your book and to really share more with you about how to make this an ongoing part of our real, quote-unquote, life.
Yeah, so Bob's book's called Pure Happiness, Your Guide to Inner Freedom. Now, where can they get your book?
Oh, right on Amazon. It's on there. It's either on the U.S. Site, Amazon, or Canadian. So I'm assuming you'd go to the American one.
Yes, that's where I got it today. So that's where it is.
Right, okay.
There we go.
Did it work?
Okay, cool.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
She's already happy. She's happier already, just knowing it's on its way. So there you go. It's all good.
My order got fulfilled. My wishes are fulfilled.
Yeah, and Bob was sharing that a lot of the book is put together with a lot of quotes from a lot of different places, just showing that it's a universal way of looking at life, and I'm really excited to be getting it and just knowing that it is a great source for happiness. It's short, sweet, and profound. So there you go. It's very, very good. So we look forward to looking at that. So thank you, Bob, for being on the show.
And your website, Bob?
Oh, the website.
That's going to be changing a little bit later. It's just taking time as, of course, being able to give that to others who are able to do that, whereas I'm not able to give in those challenges I was initially mentioning about
right.
in the show. So it's purehappinesscoach.com.
Great, great. And we'll
so
be watching you
ideas.
As you're evolving, when we'll make sure and let our audience know as you evolve, and so are we. We're evolving. So, again, such an honor to have you, and Robin's going to bring it home. Hit it, Robin.
Okay, so, I mean, you know what? That would be a really great Christmas present for anybody, to give them the gift of pure happiness. And
Amen.
Really finding a new level of inner freedom for themselves. And it's really, and when you get the gift to them, you get it back. They're happier, you're happier. It works out good for everybody. So whether it's a stocking stepper or just that initial significant gift, I think that's great. And I look forward to having it on the have it in the Cafe Book Club. So thanks, Bob. Looking forward to all of that.
I really appreciate that, Robin. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. So go ahead and go to purecoachhappiness.com if you'd like to go ahead and be reaching out to Bob. And then go to Amazon to go ahead and get his Pure Happiness book, Your Guide to Inner Freedom. And we want to thank our international audience, as always, for joining us. Any questions, comments, ideas, we really appreciate hearing from them. And just, I really wish everybody to go out and just really have a happy week. You know, if you look for it, you're going to find it. So that's something that it's really important to be looking at. You know, we ask to see your happiness every day, and it's going to show up. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.